they have the constitutional right to remove the president, to impeach him. They didn't do that. So they settled on resolutions of the two houses, citing first, what do you call it, doctrine of necessity. They should have gone to court to get the court to actually give declaration of this doctrine of necessity, a situation which is not foreseen by the Constitution and which has given room to invoke. So what people should try to find out is why didn't they go to court to get the court to invoke this doctrine?
How much of an effort did it take to get the Nigerian cabinet to follow the resolutions passed by Parliament?
They didn't want to do it. In fact, they have been very irresponsible, to say the least. They know that the president is not in a position to assume duty. They should have persuaded him to actually write the letter or to take measures as was suggested by the Minister of Information. But they didn't do that. And part of the explanation lies in the fact that power is too much concentrated in Africa, in the presidency, and nobody wants to take any initiative. Men of honor, ministers are supposed to advise the president to tell him the right thing, and nobody was willing to do that.
Did this effort turn Information Minister Dora Akunyili into a sort of kingmaker and boost her influence in government?
She is not a kingmaker, but actually she did what is expected of each and every one of them, and she has come out of it honorably. So many people have said that they should assume their responsibility as ministers in the cabinet of the Federal Republic of Nigeria to advise the president on the right thing to do. They didn't want to do that. They were dilly-dallying. They kept on lying to Nigerians that the man is okay, the man will come back, that there's no vacuum. The attorney general said as much. Well, he said that no attorney general will come out and say there is a vacuum. They knew there was a vacuum. In the absence of the president, nobody could do anything. A clique takes over in the name of the president.
What if Nigeria's judiciary tries to reverse what has just happened? A court reversal procedure could take months, couldn't it?
It could take months, but if they want, I doubt very much if they will reverse it. But if the judiciary want to reverse it or to give a decision on this matter as quick as possible, they will do it. Again, the kind of judgment they've been given, Nigerian judiciary has not actually performed creditably in this matter. They give all sorts of conflicting judgments, which gives room for all sorts of rumors. People begin to say that they are in the pocket of some people who are very close to the seat of power, who want the state to remain the way it has been. It has been before Jonathan took over. It's very unfortunate.
What challenges and possible opposition does acting President Jonathan now face from members of his own political party and from the political opposition?
Well, the opposition has done well in the sense that they kept on insisting that the rule of law must be respected. Jonathan should be the acting president, and if possible, the president should resign or should be impeached on the basis of the information available to the members of the House. They've been mobilizing, and so far they've done well. Secondly, within the PDP, there was division. But I think what finally clinched the whole thing was the decision of the governors. You know, the governors control the state, and they have considerable influence. Once the governors decided that, look, there's a need for change in the situation, the National Assembly moved in that direction.
Do you believe that President Jonathan will be effective to stop the religious tensions that have been raging in Jos and Central Plateau State?
I think, to go by what they've done in the last 2 years, I don't think he's in a position to do that. But he started well. He has set up a committee to go into the matter. We don't know. But if we should go by what has happened in Nigeria in the past, I think we are likely to see the reoccurrence of the thing. In fact, some few days back, but for the quick intervention of the military, the whole situation would have gone out of control again.
Well, can Nigerians set aside religious and ethnic differences and now work together to make government effective?
I mean, Nigerians have not been fighting themselves on ethnic or religious grounds. People meet from various faiths and they engage in businesses, they study together, they are friends and so on and so forth. The kind of situation we've seen in Jos is not normal. It is organized and the leaders of that state have a lot to answer to the Nigerian people. We have a government in Plateau State which has identified a group as settlers who have no right to engage in legitimate business, who cannot have access to government amenities such as water, they can't have access to school, and so on and so forth. And that they can't even aspire to any elected leadership position. They cannot be appointed into any office. You know, people who have lived in the place for over 200, 300 years, I have evidence of people who have been there for over 300 years, and you are still calling them settlers. And when this kind of massacre takes place, such as we've seen, the governor does not show any remorse. Rather, he justifies it by the actions he takes and by the statements he makes unless it's called to order by a higher authority, it will continue.
What about President Yaradua's fate? Can he come back, and must Mr. Jonathan immediately yield back the reins of power upon his return?
My reading of what Jonathan has done, the cabinet reshuffle which he has made, indicates to me that he thinks that President Yaradua cannot come back to assume the reins of power. At best, he may come back to Nigeria as a weak person, incapable of running the affairs of the state. Otherwise, he wouldn't do that. He did what he did, again, in order to tell Nigerians that I'm in charge. I'm now the lord of the manor. And he has to do that in order to show people that there's no vacuum in the country. There's an acting president, and that he is ready to run the country. He has to do that. And he's very clear by picking on one of the most unpopular ministers in the cabinet. You know that even when a coup takes place in the past in Africa, the first thing you do is to do the kind of things people want. So Jonathan wants to legitimize the actions taken so far by the National Assembly and then move what they've done to the general public, remove the Attorney General Aondaka, who is not popular, who seems to have been shielding corrupt public officers using legal abracadabra to shield them from prosecution. He keeps on saying one thing or the other. He is in league with a clique around Shemol Musa Yar'Adua, the president. They continue shielding this. So he's not popular. So the action taken by Jonathan is to win support of Nigerians. I'm not one of them. You know, I'm ready to run the affairs of this country according to the rule of law. And so he will buy some capital. In any case, people are tired of the impasse in Nigeria. And so I think he's very clever by the actions he's taking. The other level is, my reason of it is tell Nigerians that, look, you have to just accept me till the end of this term because I don't think Umaru Yar'Adua is coming back. He may come back maybe as president in name. That's all.
Justice Minister Aondwaka has been appointed Minister of Special Duties. Does he still retain any powers, or has he lost most?
He has no powers except what he has been given, what the acting president gives him. If I were him, I would resign. You see, the Attorney General of Nigeria is the chief law officer of the country. And I think he's the only one mentioned even in the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria amongst the ministers. It's a very powerful position. He can determine so many things to prosecute corrupt public officers, to make sure that Umaru Musa Yar'Adua, the president of Nigeria, is not impeached if things get out of control. He can filibuster. He can be filing cases in court to forestall any eventuality. So now that they've removed him and taking a minister which does not exist, he's giving a minister of special duties. Minister of special duties is neither here nor there. It depends upon what the president assigns him to do. And so if you want to remove Yar'Adua, now it's easier to do so. The cabinet will meet and say that the man is incapable of running the country, incapacitated. They will go through the motion, get doctors, certify that, and send to the National Assembly and get him removed. With Aondaka, they can't do it. The new Attorney General will do it. Apparently, if they want to do it, he can do it. And when he was asked, why did he accept this new position? He said that he couldn't remain as the Attorney General of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, having defended the positions which have been rendered untenable now. The positions he has been defending have been rendered untenable. And so he can't turn around overnight to be defending the new position. And that is why he accepted this position. And I think the honorable thing for him to do would have been to resign.
How does having a Westerner like acting President Jonathan as the leader of the country change the balance of power in Nigeria?
No, it hasn't changed any balance of power. If you look at, in fact, some journalists and political commentators have been making this kind of statement. If you look at those who have been calling for Jonathan to take over, two things have actually united Nigerians. One, the attempt by General Obasanjo to, for longest stay, united Nigerians against him. And the attempt by a clique around President Umaru Yar'Adua to continue ruling the country, even when the man is incapacitated, has also united Nigerians. In fact, that is why Nigerians are even tolerant of the illegal acts by the National Assembly. They are fed up with the vacuum, and they want the affairs of the state to run normally. And so the issue of balance of power is neither here nor there. In fact, this whole issue is not a national affair. Of course, being a political scientist, I know that the PDP is in power and the people are in control of levels of state power. That I know very well. But I think what has happened has not changed anything. We just want a leader. People could say, look, he's the head of state of Nigeria. And don't think that everybody from the South supports Jonathan. I know very well. I wrote an article in Nigerian newspaper, in which, in a Nigerian newspaper, a magazine, known as Analysis, some weeks back, in which I showed that there are forces around Umaru Yar'Adua, led by Ibori, the former governor of Delta State, who want Jonathan removed as the vice president, so that one of them, or Ibori himself, could become the vice president. In case the president becomes incapacitated, he takes over as the president. That plot was there. I think we torpedoed it. And there are many forces from the south who do not support the Goodluck presidency. They see him as a paperweight who is not a force to reckon with in Nigerian politics, who does not have any weight whatsoever, who hasn't done anything. And by dint of hard of luck, just luck, he has finally found himself as the acting president of Nigeria. First, he was picked from a university. He has worked in Ompadai before, picked from the university by Alamesia and made the deputy governor. Obasanjo impeached Alamesia and made him the governor. And within a short period of time, he was made the vice president of Nigeria. And so he never belonged to the mainstream politicians in Nigeria. And they see what Obasanjo has done as a cheat, that he has cheated them. They mobilize, they have the resources, they are the ones who call the shots in their own state, in their own geopolitical zone. But all of a sudden, this non-entity has been thrust on the national plane as the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. If they have a way of stopping it, they would have done so. And if you look at the power, the arrangement the PDP has in Nigeria, they have zoned the presidency to the north this time around. And there are forces within the Southside who believe that let the north finish exhaust its term, you get it. After which, you know, they will then bring a candidate who will now represent the South for the presidency of Nigeria. And they think that the next president of Nigeria should come from the South, but not Jonathan. I've had a series of discussions with many of them. They are sad that Jonathan is the president. But as I said, politics is something which is fixed. It can change. But if I should refer back to the question you've asked me, it has not changed the power equation in the country. But again, as I said, we are in politics. In Africa, power is concentrated. It depends upon what Jonathan does with the power he has from now on to the next convention of the PDP, which is this year. How is he able to mobilize, ensure that he emerges as the presidential candidate of the PDP? Will be very important in what happens in Nigeria. It will be very important in the light of the questions you've asked me. But I don't think he'll be able to pinch it.